feeling. Baby, baby, I got the feeling.
Nice. Welcome back, RBKD, hour number three. We're getting you ready for Texas and Rice. That'll be a 7 o'clock kick, 3 o'clock pregame. So get on down there, stop by Schultz, go say hi to Rod and Aaron. They won't bite. They're very friendly. They won't
That's going to be fine.
They won't ask for any orgies. They're swinging. They'll just talk Texas football with you.
When you go
to see Chad and Bucky down at Bevo Boulevard, I can't promise anything.
Bucky is definitely engaged in either group sex or an orgy at one point in his life.
I was talking Chad, but Bucky probably has.
No, Bucky definitely has.
Lived.
Bucky's like, it's the 70s. I had to do what I had to do.
If you're high, if you listen to any of our promos, and if you're high down there, one, good for you. You're going to watch Texas and Rice. Mm. Two, Bucky will know.
Bucky will know, yeah.
Bucky will
know.
The Chiba,
as he calls it, yeah.
He can smell the Chiba.
The old man name for it. So Bucky will be down there at the Texas Tailgate, 17th and San Jacinto. We start up 4 hours before kick. And
3 hours
before kickoff.
4 hours, so it'll be 3 o'clock.
But it's for, yes, at 3 o'clock. Thank you. And so come on down. We'll be down there hanging out. 17 to San Antonio, Texas Tail Garden, Sangarundi Hall.
Man.
Be a good time.
Like Schultz. When I think of Texas football as a kid, that's one of the first things that comes to mind. Because that's been the spot forever.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great turnout for Louisiana. Even though, coming off a loss, I'm assuming it'll be another great crowd for the Rice game, just not as enthusiastic as they were before.
Well, maybe more of an Eagle critical eye. And we didn't know what to look for against Louisiana. I think we were all, pleasantly
surprised. But you gave the score on Louisiana in week two, right?
Nicholls State beat them 27-24.
So they barely beat Nicholls State.
Barely beat them. So Louisiana may be one of those teams.
And Elijah Mitchell versus with the 49ers.
Yep.
Remember we talked about how special that young man was?
Yep,
by the way,
you did, especially.
He had 104 yards for the 49ers in week one, 73 yards off the contact.
Yeah.
He was him and that other guy, Trey Regas, I believe was his name, the other one. They had two backs. And I want to say the other one made practice squad for the Raiders. They were both elite NFL running backs. When Louisiana lost them, they lost their unique quality that they gave their offense an identity. I'm talking about those guys could run on a lot of defenses. You had a good defensive front. They could still run on it because a lot of their stuff was yards after contact. They're just bullies. And you're going to see it now in Shanahan's system.
Elijah Mitchell's a real deal. Niner fans, and I know fantasy fans, that were thinking, okay, well, this is going to be with Mostert out. Mostert is out for the year. Mm-hmm. Apparently, his wife, please stop on social media with some of this stuff. His wife has been getting hateful messages,
Raheem Mostert's
and
wife?
Death threats because he got injured and because someone's fantasy team went down to Dwayne.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
She was like, can y'all please stop doing this?
Wow. That's a special place in hell for people like that.
That's a special sickness right there.
Yeah, you're a sociopath, man. You're crazy.
So we're talking to you, Wags.
You got a mental, all right. That's mental health issues.
Stop sending those messages. some people thought Trey Sermon would be the guy. It's actually Jamichael Hasty and Elijah Mitchell. But Mitchell got, I want to say, 68% of their catches.
I think Mitchell's going to be the guy. And who they bench? They've not benched Brandon Ayuk, but Shano has basically said that.
He's in the doghouse.
He's in the doghouse. He's basically said that he has to earn his spot. If he can't beat out the guy behind him, then he won't play. That's a first-round pick. I'm serious about Shano, and I love Shano, but I'll tell him,
Have you seen some of the highlights of Ayuk?
But via text.
Huddling guys and making plays.
He looks athletic as you know what, but
he is.
If that doesn't work out, Shano's got a tendency, though, to invest in a wide receiver high, and it become a dumpster fire, and he'll give up on him. Did it with Dante Pettis.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jalen Hurd still with you guys? With the 49ers?
No.
Exactly. Remember that? That was a third-round pick. Pettis was
He is. He's on the IR.
He's always on the IR. He's on the IR.
Which is
every
why
year he's been there.
I feel like he's never been there.
And then now Ayuk, you can get in the dog. You know why? Because he's a wide receiver. Shadow's a wide receiver. So you can get in his doghouse as a wide receiver pretty quickly because he pays so much attention to it.
We talked about that with quarterbacks and Sark.
Tom Herman and wide receivers. Tom Herman's a wide receiver, remember?
Yeah, was he?
What? In college, wasn't he?
Cal Lutheran.
What?
I mean, Shadow's playing here at Texas, okay? Walk on or not, he was actually on the field.
Yeah, he played. Yeah, that's a good point. You're right. Different level.
One thing with Ayuk, he pretty much gave the whole if you're in the tub, you can't make the club thing.
Mm.
Now, he's going to make the club. He's obviously on the club, but Ayuk has been injured, and he said, no, he's got to be out there practicing. But you're exactly right. He is. he is in the doghouse. I would think some of these Texas football players are in the doghouse. Hopefully,
should be.
Yeah, they should be, right. Hopefully they can get out of it a little bit. So we mentioned a couple days ago that Sark on his Monday presser said, we're not going to make any changes to the offensive line. His latest media availability, he was a little nebulous on that. Was asked that same question and just worked around it and didn't really give an answer. If you're going to try out some different lineups, you know, a lot of people are clamoring for Andre Carrick because the left side of the line has been so bad. Dial up those numbers here for me for a second, if you don't mind.
Oh, man. They're troubling numbers, actually.
That maybe Carrick and then Hayden Connor or whoever it is. I mean, God, I wish Hookfin was healthy. I think Hookfin has been more of an injury thing. I don't know what's going on with Tyler Johnson. I've heard some stuff behind the scenes. Nothing bad, just about focus and is it really all about football for you?
You haven't heard anything bad, but you haven't heard anything good either.
No, and when I meant bad, I didn't mean he's running around town.
Yeah. No, yeah,
there's nothing illegal. It's just about focus and maybe some other things like music that's in your life that is this 100%?
Are you earning the reps too? And I think Sark wants these guys to earn reps. So I'm not saying there are a lot of other offensive linemen that are ready to contribute. I see what the frontline starters are able to do. So I understand there is a drop-off. Right? These coaches are not imbeciles. They're not idiots. I assume that these are the best five that they have.
Right.
My only question would be, because we saw Andre Carrick last year.
Kansas State.
And he was pretty good at tackle.
Outside zone.
So, you know, I would be thinking maybe see if he, you know, could be an option there, maybe on the left side. No, he doesn't play inside. He only plays outside. So maybe at tackle you can move. Maybe you can move Junior Young. No, maybe you can move over.
Do you move
Kerstetter from the right tackle and move him inside on the left side? I guess you could do that. And then move Carrick to right tackle. Maybe would that help?
Well, at that point, you got to look at the sum of your parts, and first off, you got to identify who's been worse for you. Who's the biggest liability?
Your left side is.
And Majors may be number one,
but you can't.
There's no depth.
Yeah, you don't have. You don't have another
Majors
option.
Is in there.
Your options are a guard and tackle.
Is it Okafor or is it Scott? And then at that or Jones, Christian Scott. I always want to call him Christian Scott.
We wish he was Christian Scott. You wish it was Jonathan Scott.
Yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, that's actually the guy we want.
Yeah.
Which one of those guys would you want to replace? And then does that necessitate moving Kerstetter over or into guard, right?
Yeah, gotcha.
So you got to kind of play all that together to get your best sum. And I'm okay with Kyle Flood spending a couple weeks and saying, hey, you know what? This was my initial thought coming out of camp. We're going up against live bullets now, and I realize that I got to change this up a little bit. That's okay. Be flip-floppy with me on that.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was looking at pass rush win rate. It's this stat in the NFL that if you hold your block for more than 2.5 seconds, that's considered a pass rush a pass rush win for the offensive line if you hold your block for at least two and a half seconds or over. And if you, as a defensive lineman, beat your block in under 2.5 seconds, that's considered a win for the defensive lineman.
Okay.
That's their metric. There are three Longhorns that are listed top 10 for pass rush win rate offensive linemen in this week's ranking. You have Sam Cosmi at number one. They have Sam Cosmi winning 96% of his pass
rush.
That's
awesome.
Win rate. So
playing right tackle.
Holding his block for 2.5 seconds 96% of the time, or longer, of course.
So they were able to retune and reprogram
pretty damn quickly
the garbage technique that we've heard, and that was the quote.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah, I thought that was going to take a year.
Remember,
his
preseason was awesome, too. So that was pretty fast. That was for tackles. For guards, they have Ash Connor Williams at sixth at 79%.
Hmm.
As one of the pass rush run rate top 10 guards.
And he's gone up against a pretty good one.
And then at center, how about Trey Hopkins?
Really?
71% makes number 10. Trey Hopkins.
Is he still in Cincy?
And they got him at center. I thought he was playing guard, so he must be moving around. I think he might have signed two contracts already, so shout out for Trey Hopkins, undrafted free agent. Getting back to my point is that
there's been some talent
cycling through on the offensive line, but Texas hasn't been able to get together. But I will say if I think they do need to experiment. I think you need to find a way to try to see if Andre Carey can help you out, because you saw it last year on film, and Tom Herman said similar things about the offensive line, that he was, I would say he was stubborn about it in a way that he thought they had their best five, right? And they shouldn't even pursue any other options. And turns out Jake Majors, if they had given that young man, you know, 10 to 20 reps per game, hell, man, he probably now would be a much better player and be much further along, but he's going to be a good player for him. And then we saw Andre Carrick on the offensive line, too. And those guys work well with the outside zone, which we all know is the most effective run play for Texas. But for some reason, Kyle Flo, not for some reason, he's a power run guy, and he wants to be able to run power gap schemes and also zone schemes. But he likes the inside zone, and he likes that with power gap schemes. And this offensive line doesn't have the expertise, and it doesn't have the ceiling to really run that outside zone. We've seen them run that, and they were really, really good at it. And Bijan Robinson actually prefers to run the outside zone.
And
he does.
And he may cut back.
But you give him more options.
Yeah, and he may cut back towards the middle, but you give him more options. I think you got to expand this as much as possible. People that run inside zone really well, one, the five are much better than these five, but they also work in concert together much better than these five.
Yep.
And they understand how to get to second levels. They understand really
how to hold blocks for a certain amount of time.
And then move on.
Which they never do on his own line.
They don't do that. Yeah. Well, they're having problems with the initial block. So.
But they were doing it. Remember the last two games of last year? That's why the outside zone was working so well.
They were getting second level.
Yeah, you see him, boom, hit the block at the initial level, and then move on to the second level. Because they understood, I only need to hold this block for so long. Because the running lanes are moving. The running lanes are a little evolving real time. It was magical to watch last year. I think we saw it a couple of times versus Louisiana.
We
saw it a few times versus Louisiana, but not as much versus Arkansas.
Wiley Green, I don't expect him to get the start. I do expect it to be Luke McCaffrey. Both those guys have thrown three picks each. There should be something there for you, because these guys have proven, especially in the second half, that they will give the ball up. Rice has to be a lot cleaner, really, in a lot of regards. Rice has also been brutal on third down. So this is where Texas should take advantage of them. I mentioned it earlier. Against Arkansas and against Houston, they're 46% on third down that they're actually giving that up. So they have not been good. This should be the type of game Texas needs to get back into rhythm. And as you said earlier, build some confidence, which is desperately needed right now.
Yeah, a fast start is what I'm expecting from Texas. I think Sark understands. I got to get off to a fast start. You do not want Rice sticking around believing they can play with Texas, because they did that with their first couple of games, right? They did it with U of H, playing with them into the third quarter, and even deep into the third quarter, actually past the middleway point of the third quarter. That was a competitive game, and then it blows wide open with the three picks late. And then, of course, the same thing with Arkansas. We know that was a 17-17 game tied in the fourth quarter. So I think if you can really... If you're Texas, I think you can eliminate a lot of the competitive juice that Rice is going to have at the beginning of the game. If you can just come out with an early drive to put points on the board, early stop by the defense, compound that, get some confidence, and then I think Texas could get this thing rolling. Maybe they can cover that 23 number.
Yeah.
That is the spread, but... Right now, it looks like a big number, because offensively, we haven't had a lot of explosive plays out of this offense. And that's to score a lot of points, you need explosive plays.
So first off, let's give those left side of the offensive line numbers.
According to Pro Football Focus, running behind the left tackle and the left guard, they chart every hole and they chart running behind every different gap and every different player. Pro Football Focus claims that Texas has 12 rushes behind those two positions for negative yardage. It's actually 12 rushes for basically negative 1 yard, so there's only 11 yards. So if you look at yards per carry, it'd basically be negative yardage per carry, because 12 rushes for 11 total
yards. It's been
bad,
but I would have thought with Louisiana that at least they would have been close to some positive.
But it's just, I mean, yeah. So but on the right side, actually, Pro Football Focus has them averaging 6.3 yards per carry behind the right tackle and the right guard. Of course, there are other gaps. There's A gaps, B gaps, C gaps along the offensive line. So there are other places you can run, but I think the outside zone will probably be their most effective run play. And, yes, the outside zone specifically probably to the right side of that offensive line.
Yeah, you would think, right?
Yeah.
Okay, in terms of receivers, too, you just talked about how you talked earlier how the secondary is a little undersized and they are not a big shock with Rice.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, you could probably say that about across the entire roster of Rice. They're going to be a little undersized, but they're well coached, though.
I
think they are limited, but they're well coached, and they're not afraid to play man. Usually you'd think Rice would be afraid to go play some man.
You think they'd zone up everything.
Yeah, they have confidence in their defense. And they'll play multiple fronts. They will try to confuse the Texas offensive line. Can they overpower Texas on the offensive line? No, they cannot. But their defensive front will come with odd fronts, even fronts. I guarantee you'll see a ton of games up front. They'll be doing twists and stunts. If I was them, I'd run blitz, too.
Arkansas did so well.
Considering success that Arkansas had on early down run blitzing, I'd run blitz the hell out of Texas on early down. See if you can stop some of Bijan Robinson's momentum in the backfield. And then, you can kind of get Texas behind the chains, get them in third and long. Then maybe you up your chances, increase your chances of getting a turnover. That's going to be the Rice's formula to win, in my opinion, to try to get Texas behind the chains. To do that, got to try to win first and second down. To do that, run blitzing.
Yep.
Because even if you have a sound defense, you're Rice. I mean, I hate to be disrespectful like that. I don't think you're going to be able to stop Bijan the way Arkansas did.
No.
So you need to try to stop him in the backfield. You need to create negative plays with splash plays. Blitzing is like rolling the dice. Never know.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
And see if those receivers and the quarterback can actually connect on some of these downfield routes.
Great
because
point.
They have not 20-plus, Rod. You give the numbers.
They're 1 of 10 on 20-plus yard throws. They've connected on one. And that was the one to Xavier Worthy, the double move.
The double move against Louisiana.
Yep.
And that's where Texas should get three or four of those, if not more, in this game. They should be willing to take those. They should be able to beat coverage, and they should be able to connect on that.
Yeah, if you see a Rice defender one-on-one with your wide receiver on the outside, you should be taking that shot all day, every day, and twice on Sunday. And if you can't connect on it, then that's going to be, then Casey Thompson also has some of the same issues that Hudson Card did, because that was one of the big issues with Hudson Card. Those deep shots, guys were open, couldn't hit them.
One other thing, too, when I'm looking at Rice offensively, I mean, they returned 9 starters offensively, 10 defensively. Their offensive line, all those guys return. They're almost all 300. There's one guy, 298, was listed at that, but they're almost all 300. Shea Baker's a guy who grew up going to DKR. He was first team Conference USA last year, and he's one of those kind of squatty guys, which is probably why he got the Rice ride, and also it's a great school.
So I'm sure he's probably pretty damn smart.
Kev, I'm going to be making some money here. 6'1", though, and he's 300-plus, but he's obviously a really, really good player. So let's see what that offensive line, let's see if the Texas defensive line can be overpowering, because they haven't in 2 games, including the Louisiana game.
Yeah, as you pointed out, got too high in both Louisiana game, and that was exposed in the Arkansas game. So we'll see in this game if they can actually penetrate. What you want them to do is reset the line of scrimmage. They should be pushing Rice back.
Yes.
They should be penetrating gaps and making plays in the backfield.
There should be some off-schedule stuff where all of a sudden you've got a back or a quarterback who's down 4 or 5 yards in the back past the line of scrimmage.
Exactly,
and you're just thinking,
right.
Okay.
You should be causing
that's
disruption.
The dominance we're looking
and
for.
And they're not necessarily doing that. All right, somebody who is actually disrupting the industry, dominating the industry right now, my friends over at Diamonds Direct, because they're doing it unlike any other jewelry store or diamond dealer that you've ever seen. They offer the best deals out there. They cut out the middleman, so they offer low prices nobody else can. And that's what I love about Diamonds Direct. That's what made me a true believer in Diamonds Direct and the Diamonds Direct difference. As a matter of fact, my first experience there, I just needed to find an engagement ring, was really nervous about the experience, and I didn't have to be at all. I went to Diamonds Direct. They walked me through every step of the process, made me feel really good about the purchase. And on top of that, my friends at Diamonds Direct, they have the best selection of any jewelry or diamond dealer out there. I mean, it's like 10 to 15 different jewelry stores in one. And I did the research, went to different jewelry stores around the city and different jewelry stores around the state. There is no comparison to the selection of Diamonds Direct. So after I bought the engagement ring, I went back again for the anniversary gift, went back again for the wedding bands, went back again time and time again to Diamonds Direct, and you should as well. And I would encourage you right now, go to Diamonds Direct because they're offering another deal of a lifetime. You can buy anything in the store, pay nothing down, spread your payments out over 5 years without paying a dime in interest. That's right, zero interest financing. So you can get a $3,000 pair of diamond stud earrings. You pay just $50 a month after paying nothing down. How about a $10,000 engagement ring? You only pay $167 a month with nothing down. Spread your payments out over 5 years, zero interest financing. Go to DiamondsDirect.com. You can find out more about their inventory, make an online appointment, or get an online consultation. But I recommend you go to Diamonds Direct and experience the Diamonds Direct difference for yourself. It's right there in the domain. That's DiamondsDirect.com.
You've been ranting about diamonds positively for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
What's your rant today?
Actually, I want to get into some NFL discussion. I got a lot of NFL news, notes, and nuggets to share. I was actually doing some deep dive research on why Aaron Rodgers got embarrassed the way he did. And yes, I think there is some of Aaron Rodgers being a diva and he's not really motivated, maybe a little bit disconnected, but let's not forget the football reasons. So we'll go over what the Saints did, and Saints are looking really good right now, much more impressive than everybody thought. We'll talk about what they did and how they neutralized Aaron Rodgers and how it actually is a lesson to be learned for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll get into that on the other side. All that and more right here on RBKD, right here on Rod's Rant of the Day on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God, okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
Oh, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, welcome back to Rod's Rant of the Day, and I want to get into some NFL discussion. And, of course, we've been talking a lot about Texas football. We'll get back to that. But, of course, I'm a big NFL fan, so I've been watching a lot of the games, and probably tomorrow I'll just dump all of my stats and analysis from week one of the NFL season. Maybe I'll do like a potpourri of just random NFL factoids and nuggets that I've gathered so far. But I was looking at, man, that Saints win over the Packers was probably the most surprising win of, well, probably a surprising outcome, I should say,
yeah,
of week one.
More just, than just, Steelers, not, more
not
than
just,
any of that.
Yeah, not just the Saints winning. Winning is
how
one thing, but they put an Old Testament-style butt-whipping on the Packers.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, by the way, Aaron Rodgers, in his 211th start, he lost by more than 30 points for the first time in his career.
Whoa. That's crazy. Give that one more time.
In his 211th start, he lost by more than 30 points for the first time.
There's not one other game in there? I guess it shows you that they've been at least, even in the bad years, they're not that bad.
They're not that bad. So, yeah, exactly. I mean, they put it on. That's why people were like questioning, oh, man, is Aaron Rodgers disconnected? Is he, you know, doesn't really care what's going on? What's the deal with what's going on with Aaron? But how about this? First of all, you got to give the New Orleans Saints coaching staff some credit, which, by the way, six of them have COVID this week.
Yeah.
Like six of the coaches have COVID right now, the Saints coaches. They're actually, he says, basically, Sean Payton said, Pete Carmichael, Zach Strife. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. Ronald Curry. Is that the Ronald Curry?
No.
Roland Curry?
It could be.
I don't know. He's got one of those on his staff. But yeah, I mean, they got a lot. They got a lot of coaching staff with COVID. So he said they're basically like, only four or five coaches that are able to do all the prep with the players because they got coaches with COVID. Anyway, coaching staff did a really good job.
That is him.
Picking. Is that him?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? You said that a couple weeks ago. You're like, you hear a name on a coaching staff, and you go, that can't be that player.
I'm the
like,
biggest nerd. I'll get it, and then I'll look at the whole coaching staff.
The whole coaching staff go through it.
Did that a couple nights ago.
And it then helps,
I went into, oh, it does, yeah, because it all ties together. It's all this tree, and it all ties together.
The coaching circles are so small. Yep. You start wondering, like, oh, man, that's probably why he got hired. He's old.
You get the lineage, you get the family tree.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you find it out quickly.
So give that coaching staff credit because the reason he chose
was with the Niners. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, was he really?
Before that,
what is he coaching?
He is coaching quarterbacks.
With the Saints.
what it says.
Wow. Yeah. Now that is a, I mean, with Sean Payton,
right.
That looks nice on your resume.
Good, it does look nice.
Okay, well, so the reason they chose Jacksonville, I brought this up yesterday.
I didn't think it was that great of a decision maker at North Carolina, but anyway.
Well, the reason the Saints chose Jacksonville, because they're, right now, by the way, the Saints are not practicing at home. They're, like, moving around because of the hurricane and everything going on in New Orleans. So they're still, like, sometimes they're in Texas. I have no idea actually where they are now. Remember they were at they were practicing at TCU at one time.
Dallas. They were in Arlington first, and then they went to TCU.
They went to TCU, so I'm not sure exactly where they are, but that even more so why it's really, really phenomenal what they've done. So what they did was they researched the places where Aaron Rodgers had the worst history as a player, performance-wise, cross-reference that with the place that is toughest for Green Bay Packers fans to travel to, and then they came up with Jacksonville. Why? His history in Florida, the state period. He said he squeaked a win out over Miami in 2014, lost to the Jags in 08, only averaged 5.85 yards per attempt against the Jags in 2016. He was 1-3 in Tampa Bay with multiple interceptions in all three losses, including a 38-10 eyesore on his MVP resume last year. So they're like, let's go to Florida.
Humidity?
Sean Payton. I don't know what
Aaron
it is.
Aaron Rodgers like Brian Kelly? He doesn't deal with.
But isn't that great coaching? That's great coaching.
It's
like,
sick.
It is sick, but it's amazing.
And there may be nothing to it because you're talking about those teams.
Exactly.
But still, if you get to choose, why not?
You get to choose. It's amazing, in my opinion. Okay, so I'm going to get to some of the other details of why this was a great game plan. So remember when Aaron Rodgers played the Saints in 2020, and that was last year's meeting. Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator of the Saints, he learned his lesson.
Former Texas A&M safety.
He sent five or more defenders, which is considered a blitz, at least five defenders coming at the quarterback, on 14 of Aaron Rodgers' dropbacks in 2020, and Aaron Rodgers feasted on them. He completed 9 of 13 passes, 2 touchdowns against the blitz, and they only got to him one time. So on Sunday, you almost, how many times they blitzed Aaron Rodgers? He sent five or more?
Barely.
Twice.
That's crazy.
That's it. Oh, he said he devoted more manpower to coverage, even though Rodgers had time to throw and was considered under duress at times. Now, in the NFL, there is now a belief that, you know, the too high safety look gives Aaron Rodgers problems. And I'll break it down here really quickly where we got a little time. So they started looking at Aaron Rodgers versus single high. And this is why micro-targeting analytics can get quarterbacks and a lot of players in situations where teams are isolating your weaknesses.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have found that trend if not for analytics.
Right.
Right. So Aaron Rodgers versus single high safeties in 2020, 123.5 passer rating, 29 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Then against too high coverage, he has
part of that.
One, sorry, go ahead.
His manipulation with his eyes. He seems to do a good job.
Could be with one high safety.
With one high safety, and then, you know, he'll get that guy turning one way and then be able to work the other side of the field.
Could be. So against two high coverage, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 101 passer rating. So it's like, oh, it's a little bit of drop off, but not significant enough to build a game plan around. But if you extrapolate, go a little bit deeper, if you go from 10 to 19 yards, right, take out the 20 yards or more throws, take out the short throws, 10 to short those 10 yards within the line of scrimmage. Versus single high, he's still really effective, right? 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 114 pass rating. But against two high safety looks, which are for your cover 2, your 2 man, your cover 4, your cover 6s, he has 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions in 2020. 71 passer rating.
Wow, and that's from 10 to 19?
That's from 10 to 19 yards.
We're going to be doing a lot of your work.
Extrapolate even more, right? Go even deeper. 0 to 9 yards versus single high, 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
So don't run single high.
Versus too high, 0 interceptions, 2 touchdowns from 0 to 9 yards. So defensive coordinators looked at this information, so did Dennis Allen, and said, all right, you know what? We're going to go too high. So the Saints in 2020, they ran too high, third most in the NFL behind the Bucs and the Browns. And we'll get to the Bucs. As a matter of fact, the Bucs embarrassed Aaron Rodgers in 2020. Remember, he had that terrible performance, 2 interceptions, 0 touchdowns, a 35 passer rating, because the Bucs run a lot of too high.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they run 3 high.
Yeah, they do.
They run the flyover defense. They run a lot of that at times. They did it against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. So the Saints decided, and by the way, when the Saints in 2020, when they had too high safety look, they only allowed 6 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. They were really good at it. And from 10 to 19 yards, they only allowed 1 touchdown, with two high safeties, three interceptions in 2020. So they're really good at two high safety looks. They apply that to their game versus Aaron Rodgers. They blitzed him less because he's really good versus the blitz. And they decide to build their game plan around this analytical blind spot for
Aaron
Rodgers.
That's fantastic, man.
Too high from basically from anywhere 20 yards or less.
And don't blitz.
Don't blitz him. Devote your. By the way, that's something that, and this is all that related to the Cowboys really quickly. Brandon Staley has, and Vic Fangio is a big part of this too. Their belief is you create one-on-one matchups in the running game, two-on-one matchups in the passing game by utilizing individual strengths with your players, displacing numbers, and using deception up front. That's it. Even Pete Kwiatkowski's got a little bit of that, but we didn't see it versus Arkansas. But I digress. But the two high safety look is same. It's the same principle as the three high safety look. I'm going to invite you to run the football. I'm going to invite you to run the football, but it may be an illusion.
Yeah.
Just so you know,
it's a trap.
It could be a trap, right? You have the numbers advantage. And old school football is like, whoa, we have the numbers advantage. Yeah, we're going to win. It's like, whoa. But the numbers advantage can be deceiving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the two high safety shell look is designed to do. The three high safety flyover defense is designed to do this very same thing, except it allows you to even manipulate the pre-snap even more. And that's what Brandon Staley does a lot of with two high safety covers. Look, why does that apply to the Cowboys? Well, the new head coach and the new defense of the Chargers is two high safety. Matter of fact, in 2020, Brandon Staley and Vic Fangio, who, by the way, Brandon Staley spent time with Vic Fangio 3 years in Denver and Chicago, the Rams and the Broncos, the only teams to align pre-snap with two high safeties more than 60% of the time in 2020. And they employ light boxes 70% of the time, 75% of the time. So
inviting you to run the football.
So I know people are like, run Zeke.
Right.
Yeah.
This is exactly what Texas had against Arkansas last week.
Exactly.
People.
They're inviting. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's a trap.
It's a light box,
it's
which
an
is
illusion.
My favorite type of box, by
it's
the way.
It's a lie. It's a big booty. It's a big booty and a smile. All right. You can't trust a big butt and a smile. What they say on Poison? Never trust a big button to smile.
Yeah.
That's what that light box is with that show coverage. It's a big button to smile. It looks good, but don't trust it.
I love that stuff, man. I want more of that right there. So this actually was easier for Dennis Allen than if you get into a situation where it's not something that you have traditionally done well, and yet whatever that is, you don't necessarily do well. You think about doing it because it's obviously the best thing to play against a quarterback in an offense. This was one of them where you just gave all the numbers. Which
they did
is
their
perfect.
Homework.
You just said, wait a minute. We're good.
The numbers
too
tell
high
you.
Look.
Go too
and
high.
Too high is not good with him. All right, I just got to figure out the blitzing part now, and we ain't going to do it.
Yeah, because what is too high? That's why does it, you know, you don't worry about him throwing 20 yards or more down the field with too high because
he's
not going to test
that. No, you worry about underneath that.
You worry about the underneath. And then it's about manipulating the pre-snap reads.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing right now.
And they frustrated him. The punt that I talked about. That Rodgers just threw up there against a too high look and just threw it up there deep. I mean, the safety was back there. He caught it like a punt.
Exactly right.
That was straight frustration.
Because I think he's starting to realize this is his blind spot, too. He's not an idiot.
Yeah.
You're talking about a savant at the quarterback position. He knows, damn, them too high safety looks, they are frustrating me. But the worst part is now, because of analytics, everybody else knows it.
Yeah.
Now they're writing articles about it.
These damn analytics.
No, really, that's what it does. It allows you to.
They wouldn't have found my kryptonite without the internet.
They wouldn't have found it without the analytics. So he had 36.8 passer rating, which is one of the worst he's had in a long time. So
expect to continue to see too high look. Even if you're not great at it, you better throw it out there. And also not really getting after him.
Yep.
And their offensive line was so bad that, talk about off-schedule stuff, one-on-one matchups with their defensive line, they were still able to get home and pressure him.
That's
at
exactly
times.
Right. Yep, no doubt.
Good stuff, Rod. Yep. Love it there. We'll get back to Texas and Rice coming up at 6 o'clock. Up next, we stay in the NFL. Cowboys just keep on getting worse news. Bad news after bad news. It even hit one of their coaches. RBKD, we're back. If you are out south, specifically San Marcos, or close to that, come on out tomorrow. Come say hi. We're going to be doing the show at Craft House. That is in San Marcos. And, of course, you know me as a food nerd. What am I always doing, Rod? I'm looking at the menu.
Oh, man. You pulled it up, man. I got to tell you.
You said bougie.
I like the queso blanco, though. That's
seared ahi tuna?
Oh, yeah. Now, that's
honey
bougie.
Wasabi?
That is bougie.
We're getting that. The chips and queso. Okay. Blanco, that looks great.
It does look good.
Bobcat cheese fries.
Okay. Shout out. Is that for the Bobcats? I'm sure it is.
Is it served by a Bobcat?
It's a Texas State love.
That's the question, right? So we'll be out there all show tomorrow. I think Jeff Howe's going to join us.
Yeah, Jeff Howe's going to join us.
For a little while at least. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun just to get out there.
The breakfast looks good. It's all day.
Yeah.
Oh, game changer. All day breakfast. I'm a fan. Breakfast for dinner. Not a bad idea every now and then just to change it up.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend whose family did that every Sunday, I think.
Oh, breakfast for dinner?
Yeah, I always thought that was a good idea. Cool little tradition, you know? Change
not
it up
bad at
a
all.
Little bit.
Okay, bad news for the Cowboys, and it's a lot of it. We'll try
Where
to go through
start?
It really quickly. Yeah, of course, everybody knows Lyle Collins because he skipped 7 different drug tests.
Seven. Not 3. I'm about to go LeBron here. Right. Not 4, not 5, not 7.
7 of those. He's going to be out for 5 games. He's not going to appeal that suspension. Other negative news for the Cowboys, Michael Gallup is on the IR, the receiver, so they're not going to have him for the next 3 weeks, at least the next 3 weeks. We did learn that Randy Gregory is now in COVID protocol, much like Zach Martin was in COVID protocol for the first game versus the Bucks and unavailable. As a result, he will probably also be unavailable in this game versus the Chargers because you have to have two negative COVID tests, and then there's a certain amount of time after the negative COVID test where you have to obviously remain.
Isn't it
negative.
2 days?
It's something like that. And Zach Martin, they couldn't pull it off with Zach Martin, they're not going to pull it off with Randy Gregory.
Right.
Just throwing it out there.
They're not going to.
And yeah, it's just not going to happen.
Their defensive line is a question mark. Their secondary is definitely a question mark. You got Keenan Allen. You got Mike Williams. You got Justin Herbert. And you've got...
Is Austin Ekeler there still?
Austin Ekeler is still there.
Yeah. Now they got some weapons. And also, speaking of the weapons that they're going to have to defend, DeMarcus Lawrence is the latest of the bad news for the Cowboys.
That's the biggest news.
Broken foot. He's going to be out. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So he's going to be out. You're talking about 2 months potentially. So should they go to the waiver wire? Should they go to the free agent market, try to find a defensive end?
Probably. I mean, look, Dorrance Armstrong or some of these guys don't provide anything that's close to what he provides, which is not going to be the same, but they're going to have to give you something.
I looked up defensive ends on the free agent market, and it's not many. A lot of them have been with the Cowboys
Taco
before.
Taco Charlton's
there on there. Alden Smith, I believe, is available.
I'd go with all of them before I'd go with... Taco.
Vic Beasley, Bruce Irvin, Ezekiel Ansah, do anything for you?
No.
DeMontre Moore, remember him?
Yeah.
Aggie?
Yeah.
Anything?
No, nothing. None of that does anything for me.
Well, then the Cowboys options are Bradley Anae, Dorrance Armstrong, Terrell Basham, Chauncey Golston, and Azur Kamara.
Yeah.
Who have combined for 10 sacks combined with all of them, and Basham has 7 of those, 7.5 of those.
Kamara's not the answer right now.
Okay.
I became a big fan of his watching him on Hard Knocks, but he's a project, and he's a special teams player right now, and a good one. But he's one of those guys who's taken a 53-man spot because of special teams. Rod, you probably know a little bit about that, and he's a project.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Dorrance Armstrong was a project, but now – That's the guy he's leaning on. And Bradley and I know they were really high on him, too. And he actually had a really good preseason. Michael Parsons, they brought in as a Swiss Army knife that could do a number of things as a defender, including be a pass rusher. And maybe now's the time for you to unveil him in a pass rushing role situationally. Maybe the same thing can be done for Jalen Smith, who's also been a pass rusher for the Cowboys. Maybe he can provide situationally some pass rushing edge reps for you. Jabril Cox, maybe you can bring him in and have him play more of the off-ball linebacker role for you. LVE actually hasn't been bad in the preseason early on, so maybe those two can be your off-ball linebackers, and you can have Jalen Smith and Micah Parsons providing edge rushing, you know, reps for you, and that being their primary role. At least you can figure something else out. I don't know what you do. Other than depend on the young guys.
Brian, was it Bulaga, who's their right tackle for the Chargers? I read earlier that he's questionable. So.
Oh, that's okay.
So, I mean, if anything, just to even that out a little bit.
And they got their other, was it Slater? They got Rashawn Slater with them?
Yeah, Rashawn Slater's their left tackle.
He's a future All-Pro.